Welcome to the teaching podcast of Wellspring Church in New York City. We are a community that seeks to live in the way of Jesus and hope that you will be encouraged by today's teaching.
Psalm 42 is a lament psalm, and the first two verses start off like this. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Have you ever had a longing like that, where your whole being was affected, where your body, your mind, your emotions, your will, deep down in your spirit, you just felt this longing for something that you couldn't have? If you can relate to that, then you're in good company, because the psalmist felt the same way. And although we may have a lot of different longings, it seems that this worship leader that wrote this psalm had one longing, and it was to be in the presence of God. And he felt like he couldn't be in the presence of God. And it makes a lot of sense, because during that time, the presence of God was often found in a place. So if you wanted to meet with God, you would go to the temple and you would be able to worship freely there. And that is what he was used to doing. But for some reason, where he was so far away from where the presence of God was in the temple. And so you could imagine this longing. He had experience there. He was able to be free there. He was able to feel the presence of the God that he worshiped. But for some reason, he couldn't. There was a gap between him and what he felt like he needed. And the way in which he described this longing is like a deer that's panting for water. And I don't know if you've ever panted before, but the human body pants because it's in like survival mode. It's a survival response, and it's a way of saying my body needs to calm down, it needs to cool off, and it needs to have a certain level of regulation in order to stay alive. So the same is true for a deer. When a deer is running from a predator, or when a deer is feeling very hot from the heat, it will start to pant and kind of have difficulty catching its breath because it's a survival response. It's basically saying, I'm gonna overheat. I can't make it without something. I need to go on, but I don't know how. And the way in which the deer finds an urge is to go to water and drink the water, and that helps it regulate and cool off and calm down, and so they can catch their breath again. And the psalmist is saying that's how desperate he is for the presence of God, that he's longing in his body, panting. He's in survival mode. He's saying, God, I cannot do any of this without you. I need your presence, and I need you close. Where can I find you, God? When will I be able to see you? I need your presence. When I think about this story, longing for something you can't have, I couldn't help this Christmas but to think about this story about a family in Africa. My daughter is very passionate about helping people in need, and every month she tries her best to support this African village who does not have clean water where they are. So oftentimes, children and women have to walk miles and miles just to get water. So no matter how hot it is, no matter if they're feeling sick, no matter what, they have to take that trek miles and miles just to get to the closest resource of water. But often when they get to that place, it is not the kind of resource that you would want to drink. It's often like a water hole where animals also use it. And because of that, the water is contaminated. So even though they're making this trek miles and miles, they're taking the water and they're carrying it. Some as young as 5 years old are carrying these waters back to the village so that people can have their basic needs met. Can you imagine what it's like longing for something, but it feels so far away? And so it would have been a good idea just to help this resource and make this area where they go to find water clean so that when they do make the trek, it'll be clean water that they can drink. But they're thinking even further in this mission. What they're thinking is that instead of having them go to the water, why don't we bring clean water to them? Meaning they can go into kitchens and they can go into bathrooms and they can have the things they need to wash their body. They don't have to go miles and miles to get something they're longing for. It could be right there with them. So that when a child says, when can I wash my hands? You can say, right now. How long will it take for me to get to this water, to get something to drink? You can say, you don't have to wait. The time has come. And the reason the story stuck in my mind is because this is really the reason we celebrate Christmas, because the same way water came to that village and it changed everything, it's the same way that Jesus came down to earth and changed everything. No longer was it waiting and longing. Jesus came here. So when the question was, when can I find the Lord? Jesus answered, I'm right here. So when Jesus decided to leave his home in heaven, I imagine he was thinking something like this. No more will there be a distance between me and you. You draw near to me, I draw even closer. No more will it be limited access. When you ask where I am, you're going to find me. I'm going to be face to face. No longer will you say, how can I find you and what way to you? Because I am choosing to meet with you first. Jesus left his home in heaven to come here with us, knowing that we would be broken people who never really got the story straight, full of darkness and sin. The Lord Jesus said, I still want to come near to you. And this is why the prophet Isaiah is so powerful, because he said that we would call Jesus Emmanuel, which means God with us, meaning he wouldn't just be a great man. He wouldn't just be a good teacher, but God himself here on earth in the flesh. He's face to face. And he came here as that small child that we just heard about, but with so much power. And since his birth, he was always on a mission. He had a mission declared over his life that he would come and save those who are in darkness, who are in bondage, and who are stuck in sin. But oftentimes when we hear the name Jesus and when we think about him coming down to earth, we think that he came to judge the world. But Jesus himself said that he did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And that word where he says save means the word sozo. And this is a Greek word that means to save, to heal, to deliver, to make whole. Jesus came to do all those things so that we can have life and have it to the fullest. When it felt like there was a gap, Jesus said, I want to come. I want to draw near to you. I want to touch you. I want to be face to face, shoulder to shoulder with you. No longer will there be distance. The Lord Jesus has come near. And on this earth, as he was doing that very mission, and it's documented in the scripture, it's also documented that people became skeptical of Jesus. They didn't like the things that he was doing when he was challenging systems and structures and old patterns of thought. They didn't like that he was being inclusive and diverse. They didn't like that he was doing things very messy. But that's the thing about Jesus. He's willing to get himself messy so that other people can be clean. But they didn't see that as a virtue. Instead, they saw it as a threat. So what did they want to do? They wanted to get rid of his presence. They crucified him. They put him on a cross. They embarrassed him publicly for things that he did not even do. And Jesus knew that he would die that death the moment that he decided to come here on earth, that he fulfilled his mission. But he did it anyway. He knew, and he still came here. When he was crucified, the idea was, if we get rid of his presence, we'll get rid of his influence. But what they did not understand was that Jesus was not going to stay in a grave. In fact, the scripture says that he rose on the third day. And because of that, not only did he rise, he went and ascended to heaven to be on the right hand of the throne of God. And all the authority that he have, he gave back to those that he loved. And this is the thing. They thought that they could stop his presence by crucifying him on the cross, but really by crucifying him, his presence just increased. More and more people became filled with something so special called the Holy Spirit. And we've been listening to that for months now. We've been listening to Jesus in the flesh, but not just in the flesh as in he's here in the gospel, but how his spirit remains here. And because of that, we are changed. And the Holy Spirit is now in every single person who believes in Jesus. So here, everyone was thinking that they could stop the presence of Jesus. It only increased. So today, as we think about Christmas, we're remembering that Jesus is not far off. He's Emmanuel. He's right here in the room. I love how the scripture says that Jesus moved into the neighborhood. And I love how Wellspring took those words and made it even more personal. He moved into this room. He's here with us right now. And the last part of this beautiful Advent season is lighting that white candle in the middle that represents Christ. So not only now, when I light this, do I want you to think about it representing Christ, but that it's representing that Christ is Emmanuel and he's in the room with us. Now earlier, when you stepped in, you received a candle. And I'm just gonna ask that you get those out. And I'm gonna light this first candle, and as I do, I pray that you see that Jesus is the light of the world that has come down from his heavenly home. But not only that, that this candle represents his presence, the light of the world that is here with us. So if you could all stand to your feet. Candles ready. I'm going to light mine, and then I'm gonna light someone else's. And I'm gonna ask that you look around to the person next to you, the person behind you, and you light their candle to represent that Jesus is here. The light of the world is in this room with us. And as you light candles together, look around and see how the presence of God has moved in this place and how powerful his presence actually is. So please join me in prayer. God, as we light this candle, we ask that not only is it just representative of the light that you brought to this earth, but also may it be representative of your presence and how you're right here in the room with us. God, we thank you so much for all that you've done and all you continue to do through your presence. May you increase in Jesus' name, amen.
A silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure.
The final reading for today is where it's all going. It comes from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." As we close today, we recognize that this whole faith thing that we're all trying to walk out is a journey, and it's messy, and we have each other, but there are also moments, markers, turning points for yourself where you decide, man, I'm going to step in a little further. Sometimes holidays help those kinds of moments. Moments like this where you're holding a candle and you're reminded of the larger story that you're a part of. And so I just want to take a moment here for a few possible responses as we close in prayer and more song. That I just wonder if there's people here that it's just been a while since you checked in with your heart and rechecked in with Jesus and just said, "Yeah, Lord, I'm here. I want some more, and I'm willing to step in further. Would you come reveal yourself as the light of my life in a greater way this year?" And if that's you, you could just say something like that in your own heart right now. And I also wonder if there's just some of you that are just saying, "Man, Lord, I know you're here, but I've just been coasting along in this thing, and it's time to start doing it together with a little bit more intentionality, living with some proactivity and not just reactivity to everything being thrown my way." And right now, you might just say, right here in this place, "I'm going to step in this year. I'm going to step forward. Lord, will you help me make that step?" And then lastly, some of you may understand the Christmas feels, sure, the holiday busyness, the beauty of, you know, candles. Who doesn't like candles and Christmas? But you've never actually said for yourself, "I'm going to make Jesus my own so his light comes on in my heart. I see it in others, but I want it for me." And if that's you, I'm just going to ask that you would repeat me in this prayer, a prayer that's just between you and the Lord that only you can pray. Would you pray with me? "Jesus, I recognize you as the light of the world, as the one who came to save me, because you are the Son of God. Thank you for your love. I want you to continue to write my story. I accept you as the author of my life and faith. I resolve to follow you. Please come into my life. Wash me clean of my sin. Reveal to me your love. And fill me with your hope and your Holy Spirit. Amen." Amen. If you have prayed that, if you have made any kind of commitment, or you would just like some encouragement in prayer in any way, praying for others, prayer for yourself, you can join our prayer partners that we have on either side here as we close in song with one another. And we bless you right now in the name of Jesus to be filled with hope, to have a very Merry Christmas. And as we go out in peace, carrying the light of the Lord, I leave you with this benediction. We rejoice that God is here, not distant or detached, but with us. We see that nearness in Jesus himself, born of Mary, raised among us, living a life that we could not live, that showed us God's love, God's peace, and God's justice. His voice still speaks today. His invitation to all of us to come to the table still stands. His promise is still for us. And so we say, come, Lord Jesus, be born in us again. Light our hearts with this fire. Shape our lives. Lead us to be people of truth and of hope until we know deep within that God is with us, God is for us, and God is in us. God bless you all. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can find out more about our church community at wellspringchurchnyc.com.